We're turning to the Old Testament scriptures, the book of Nahum, and we're going to read the chapter 1. Nahum chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkosite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counsellor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of the gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, O Judah. Keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Amen. And God will bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. And before we bring God's message, we want to ask help again from the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy presence again, we remember these two families in Kenya that have been bereaved. Lord, we thank thee for the testimony of thy two servants who have been taken home to glory. We thank thee for their support and help in the work of God. And we pray also for the church family there that thou wouldst comfort them in their loss, and undertake for the funerals on Tuesday, and grant, O God, that a testimony will be raised that will bring glory and honour to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we serve. Now, Lord, be with us today. Help us as we meet around thy word just now. And we pray for the help of God the Holy Spirit. And we pray for a blessing from thyself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Ministers often during the month of December are sensitive to the needs of the congregation and therefore are seeking help in many ways as to what to speak on during the last Lord's Day of the year, as well as the first Lord's Day of the new year. And as I met various ones and sought the Lord, recognizing the need and the hurt and the pain and the trials of many, we want to turn to verse 7 of Nahum chapter 1, reminding ourselves that in spite of the testings of bygone days, we do have a refuge. It says here, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. What a verse. As you look back over the year that's passed and the trials that have come your way, the difficulties you faced, to be reminded just now of such a text of Scripture. And what a foundation and what a rock to stand upon, even though we're tossed by many a foe. I am sure as we read together this chapter a few minutes ago, we recognized the tremendous, terrifying storm in this chapter. The thunder, we could almost hear it roaring as we read it, and the lightning striking, and the seas and the earthquake heaving. What catastrophes wrought here in this chapter of God's word. And maybe to some degree or other, it describes the experience of some in our congregation today. But standing out above all the noise and the pestilence and the troubles, standing out above it all, there's a place of refuge here. There is a place of quietness. There's a place of peace. And even though the thunders roar and the earthquakes heave and the lightnings strike, we have God speaking to us and saying, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is good. Here we have the sweetness of God's person. How sweet is the very mention of the person of God. Consoling, comforting, that in the midst of the storms, we have one who is good. His person cannot change. His nature doesn't change. The demonstration and outpouring of his power doesn't change. The Lord is good. Now, it's easy to say such a thing when things go well with us. It is easy to say that when the sun shines. But it's a different thing altogether when we're passing through adversities and difficulties and trials. It's not so easy to say the Lord is good, but he is. God is still good, regardless of what might happen. The Lord is good in the fair weather as well as the foul weather. The Lord is good when we're being blessed as well as when we're being buffeted. The Lord is good. The true believer, in the very darkest hour of life's experience, will still be able to say, the Lord is good. I think of Job, an Old Testament character bereft of everything. He could say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most Free Presbyterians know that their ministers are very fond of preachers like C.H. Spurgeon. And in reading one of his sermons, I came across these words. Part of it says this: you thought God was good when your little infant was born. You thought God was good when he laughed upon your lap and your house was glad with his merry ways. But God was just as good when that little coffin was silently moved through the door, wet with the tears of the parents. He goes on to say, God was good to you when you walked in the sunlight and every breath of air was health to you. But God is just as good when every step is weariness and your body is consuming away with sickness. God is the unchanging God. And we can truly testify to that today, that the Lord is good regardless of the circumstances of life. He never changes. He's the unchanging God. And his goodness doesn't vary. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And when we come to the place in life's experience that the only prop that we have is God to lean upon, then we can truly say with Nahum, God is good. And in coming to that place, then I have to say we have found the greatest blessing of all. We have found how good it is to have the very person of God alongside us, leaning on him, trusting in him, and experiencing his grace and his goodness. God is good in his person. God is good in his purpose. We know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God is good in his purpose, and he allows nothing to happen but is in accordance with his will, and for his glory and for our good. He loves and he cares, and nothing his truth condemn. Thank God for that. He does and gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him. God is good. He is good. Good in his providences, in our lives. We don't understand at times what is happening or the things that befall us. But in the very providence of God, God is good. One day, with Samuel Rutherford, that sturdy covenanter, with a great testimony, a godly man, one day with him we'll bless the hand that guided, and we'll bless the heart that planned, when we're throned where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. And we'll understand the purposes and the providences of the Almighty when we reach heaven and home. God is good in the promises of his word. His promises are yea, and they are amen to his children. And so there is a foundation for us to build upon. There is a pillow in the midst of the storm to lay our heads upon. And that is the fact that God is good. God is good. He's good in his pardon. He forgives sin. He heals sinners. How sweet is the pardon of the blood of Jesus Christ to a guilty soul. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that trusteth in him. The hymn writer could say, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Thank God for that day when I experienced the goodness of the Lord in his pardoning of my sin, in removing my sin from me and making me his child. On this final Sabbath day of 2014, may you find that the Lord is good in pardoning your sin. May you come as a guilty sinner this Sabbath morning and yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't end another year in your sin. Don't start another year in the same way you finished the old one. Oh, friend, today, be determined that you're going to trust the Savior and to take him as your Savior and your Lord. God is good in the peace that he gives to the repenting heart. Oh, the peace my Savior gives. Peace I never knew before, and the world has grown brighter since I've learned to trust him more. What an anchor for the soul. We have that anchor, steadfast and sure, even though the billows roll. Brethren and sisters, this past year, like every other year, has been a year of testings. It has been a year of sometimes darkness and sometimes brightness. It's been a year of storms as well as stillness. It's been a year of disappointments and of bereavements, of hardships. But let us learn this truth. Let us rely on this truth. Let us believe this truth. Let us receive this truth. The Lord is good. As we come to the close of 2014, let us lay it up in our heart. The Lord is good. Here is an anchor that will hold your frail vessel and keep it steady. Here is an anchor that will stand you in good stead while the storms last. It's like a breath from heaven. It's like the still small voice whispering that peace to the soul. Thank God we can say today, the Lord is good. Oh, what sweetness there is. Not just in the Word of God. And the Word of God is like the honeycomb. It is even sweeter by far. But how sweet it is to know that we have the very person of God before us. Right here in our text. And it's sweet to know Him. To trust in Him. And to follow Him. And to obey Him day by day. And then it goes on to say, the Lord is good. But furthermore, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Here we have the strength of God's power. The strength of His power. You notice it here, a stronghold in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble. You'll notice it's the day of trouble. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 that our light affliction is but for a moment. It doesn't say here a lifetime of trouble, but the day of trouble. And Paul reminds us that our light affliction is but for a moment. But he goes on to say, but with great mercies will I gather thee. With great mercies, Isaiah tells us, I will gather thee. Isaiah tells us that for a small moment, have I forsaken thee? But with great mercies, I will gather thee. And for a moment, for a time, for a period, it may have seemed like the Lord had forsaken us. But He promises, with great mercies, with tremendous mercies, I will gather thee. It reminds us of the spreading of one's arms to gather together and to hold to one's breast, comforting and sustaining and speaking great words of encouragement. That's the Lord, isn't it? Oh yes, it might appear that for a period He had forsaken us. In our darkness, that was our trial. But He spreads His arms towards His people and He gathers them to Himself. And in great mercies, He gathers us together to Himself. What a God we have. What a God we have to trust. You'll notice it's the day of trouble. Job, you remember, if I might mention him again, what a day of trouble it was for Job. His business was gone. His farm was gone. His family was gone. His possessions were gone. His riches were gone. His health was gone. And even the very confidence of his wife was gone. In him. And she urged him to curse God and to die. Such was the day of trouble in Job's experience. But he couldn't curse God. For Job knew that the Lord was good. And he was a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knew the power of God's strength. And he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And is it good to be able to say that day in and day out throughout the year? Looking back and to praise God that he give us grace to do it. And we stand upon that rock today and we rejoice in it. And it may well be that for you, 2014 was a particularly hard day of trouble. But it is only a day, as we have said. And in the day of trouble, what is there? There's a stronghold. In the day of trouble, there's a mighty fortress. In the day of trouble, there's a city of refuge. In the day of trouble, there's a hiding place. There's a shadow of a great rock and a weary land. And in the day of trouble, there's a shelter in the time of storm. Let's never forget that. We sang Luther's great psalm at the start of our service this morning. And you will know that when Martin Luther went down into the depths of despair and trouble, and circumstances were all opposed to him, when trials came and disappointments came, Martin Luther called for Psalm 46 to be read. And he, furthermore, he called for it to be sung by his friends and his wife Kitty and Melanchthon, his very close friend. And he would tell them, let's sing the Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength in straits of present aid. That brought comfort to him. And we were singing it today as well. Let the word of God and the praise we offer bring comfort to our hearts. Bring consolation to our souls. And it was out of that Psalm 46 that Luther wrote his great hymn. It's number 533 in our hymn book. And verse 1 reads like this. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work his woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. He was able to pen those words even in the darkest of his life's experiences. There is for God's people today, even this morning, a stronghold which can never be infiltrated. There is for you this morning a refuge which cannot be stormed by the enemy. There is for you, my friend, a safe retreat at the mercy seat of our God in heaven. And we come there and we place our woes before him and we seek his help. We can say, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I am hiding in thee. Thank God for the strength of his power. But there is also something else. It says, and he knoweth them that trust in him. What a comfort that is to us today. God knoweth them that trust in him. Here is the secret of God's people. He knoweth them that trust in him. Does God know that you trust him today? God does know. God knows every sinner who has repented of his sin and is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. The Lord knows it. It's not hidden from him. But he knows something else. He knows those that have not trusted him. And you may hide behind a false profession. You may hide behind your church attendance. You may hide behind your good living. You may hide behind many other cloaks. But my friend, God knows all about it. For he knows those who are his, and he knows those who are not his. And if you're not his today, then it's time you were his. It's time you trusted in him. Salvation has nothing to do with attending church or being a member of the church or being good living. Salvation has everything to do with trust in Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you must be saved, friend. Otherwise, you'll perish in your sin. You'll be lost in hell forever. You need Christ. The Lord knows them that trust in him. Neither is there salvation in any other. He knoweth them that trust in him. Are you trusting him today? Child of God, tossed about by affliction and opposition, does God know that you trust him amidst the storm? Christ passed over the Sea of Galilee in the boat in the company of his disciples. He wanted them to trust him, having promised them that they would reach the other side. He said, "Let us go over to the other side." And having said those words, then the purpose of God was that they would reach the other side. But when the storm arose, there arose doubts in their minds. There arose unbelief in the heart. And they believed instead of reaching their destination, they were going to perish, casting dispersions on the very word of their master. Little wonder he rebuked them and said, "O ye of little faith." And in the storms that arise as you cross over the sea of life, and before you reach the other side, he wants you to trust in him. Take him at his word. He wants you to lean upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Thank God, his care reaches to all of us. The Lord knoweth. Notice the intimate knowledge that's here that God has of each one of us. It's not only a personal knowledge, it is personal, but it's an intimate knowledge. His knowledge is born of love for us and care, pity and compassion. It's one who cares with his gentle hand guiding us, sustaining us, delivering us, providing for us and protecting us. God has an intimate and personal knowledge of each one of us. And therefore he knows us better than we know ourselves. And we should therefore trust him. Lean on him and trust him to see us through. And then one day, when this old world is done, as we were singing, when time is no more, when the judgment day has been set and all the verdicts of the Almighty are given, one day in eternity, we will be able to see very clearly the Lord is good. He has been our stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that are his. Let's get this scripture into our hearts.
Let's live it. Believe it. Make sure it is experimental in all our lives. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And best of all, he knoweth them that trust in him.